Hello everybody, this is Victor here from Trend Following Trading for Beginners, and here's my weekly update on my Sambo trading portfolio, coming up next. Hello everybody, welcome back for another week on my episode. This week basically is quite quiet. Things have been quite slow as far as I can see with the market. Dow Jones seems to have just gone up and down a bit, and overall it's quite a mixture of the market. It's, I think, down 150 points overall from the week. And it's still there. It looks a bit of topping, but I'm not sure. But see how it goes. NASDAQ obviously all seems to recover a bit, but don't know how long it will last. But I think that the main thing for last week for me basically is really is the interest rate of some of the countries that I'm not sure how many people are actually taking notice that, you know, during this COVID-19 world, and we have some countries actually increasing interest rate. For example, on Wednesday, Brazil went up by 75 basis points to 2.75. And then on Thursday, Turkey followed, but, well, this is a bigger one. It's increased 200 basis points to 19%. Wow. And then on Friday, Russia also up by 25 basis points to 4.5%. So all these little things actually happen in a background where COVID-19 is still happening, and, well, Western world seems to have continued just following the American lead, just open the printing press and just dump loads of money into the stock market. I think mostly, obviously, it's the American government have been doing that. And of course, we have this the $1.9 trillion aid package that President Joe Biden have signed last week or so. And people should have their $1,400 paycheck, you know, by end of the month, end of March. All these people were thinking, you know, where all this money is going to be paid for, by whom? And obviously the American government probably just using the Fed to provide the treasury notes and so forth. But then that seriously causes the weakening of American dollar over time. And we haven't seen much of price increase on most things yet, but there are some already, like, you know, grains and pork bellies and kind of things already moved up quite a bit. Gold seems to have all stabilized itself as well. But I think the inflation, that the big inflation people have been worrying about, is not actually seen yet, but I think it's definitely coming. However, countries around the world, I think is showing in the increase in interest rate in Brazil, Russia, and Turkey, is basically getting ready for quite a bit of a fluctuation or increase in inflation coming through. And I think this is an ugly sign that, you know, something is going to be coming, and just have to worry about it. And obviously this linked to the US Treasury bonds. I think last week or the week before, they did quite a bit of selling of Treasury bonds and so forth. And the noises I read so far from my research is it's doing well, but unfortunately, if it's doing well, why is the bonds 10 years and 30 years Treasury yields continue to go up? For the 10 years, it's gone up to 1.7%, which is a lot. And for the 30 years, it's 2.4%. And there's now talks of 10 years go to 2%, and then 30 years may go to 3 or 3.5 something. So it's quite significant continue jumping up. But I'm not quite sure on that one. Like I said last year, I think there may be some, you know, something the American government may be doing later on or something. Because if the borrowing costs for a U.S. government continue to go up, that means people are not buying the treasury yield, and the government have to increase not buying the treasury bonds and have to increase this yield. And to make it more attractive for foreign investors to buy it, this just going to cause quite a bit of a problem as far as I'm concerned, because that means to service a debt, the American government have to pay more money, just try to, you know, cover the cost of the interest rate, so forth. And I don't think it'll be in America's interest to have to continuously borrow money and increasing ever interest rate. Yes, the American government, Federal Reserve can print more money, but that's just going to cost the Bitcoin dollars to continue to weaken. And on the other hand as well, who's actually selling it? And the bonds, as far as I'm concerned, is government bonds. So small investors, even international institutions, financial institutions can go in, of course. But I think the big drivers are international governments from around the world. And they seem to be increasingly asking for more interest rate even to buy any treasury bonds because they just came on site. I think they just said that all of us are seeing US dollars weakening over time. And it will be, you know, not worth the money, so to speak. And if inflation is coming, like I was just saying earlier, with other countries increasing interest rates and inflation coming in, they're actually getting a negative yield. So that whatever they gain from the treasury yield, it's not enough to cover whatever the local government is around the world, or they cover the inflation. So overall, they're actually losing money. I think this is one of the main reasons behind the scene that driving the cost of the treasury yield to go up. But I don't think American government, you just go sit there and just go, you let that happen. So they may be using some other means to drive it down, maybe using, what they have done in back 2007, you know, Operation Treats or something. And we just have to basically see what type of things that they may be doing. And of course, this week we have last couple of days, basically, there's a big talk between US and China. And we've seen how forceful or angry or fireworks during the first day. It's all over the news, all over around the world. And I think the Chinese is in particular very forceful and push back a lot to the US government. But overall, we've seen this kind of thing that happened since middle of last year, when President Trump just keeping their fingers to China, say the virus is from them and so forth, COVID-19 I'm talking about. But Chinese slowly pushed back, initially through the news media, and then the foreign ministry spokesmen. And now we have actually delegates from China going to US and basically angry pushback on American policies and so forth. And I think one thing more salt on the wound for the Chinese is before the meeting, the Joe Biden minister, Joe Biden government actually add more sanction to some Chinese officials in Hong Kong, both in Hong Kong and China. And basically, it's fair for the Chinese to actually come and this is the way that you have, you know, diplomacy. When you invite somebody, a foreign power, to come and talk to you in American soil, do you just quickly slam, while they were traveling in the air, slam a sanction on some of the officials in China? And that doesn't show, you know, what you call a willingness, you know, have a good talk and a good host kind of thing. You know, it's more like, you know, try to tell the American government, try to tell US government that, you know, I can do whatever I want and just gonna push you down, whatever, and just like, you know, causes you to feel, you know, somewhat below them or something. But Chinese basically just say, okay, I'm just going to push back. This is not proper diplomacy, you know, international diplomacy. When you want to talk between two nations, you don't go suddenly far more tariff on top. This is more like Donald Trump's doing, but Joe Biden is supposed to don't follow Donald Trump way, right? But it seems to be continue happening. So what I would see, basically, just as I said before in my podcast, I do see Cold War just continuing, but it's not like with guns, like US and Russia before, USSR before. It's more like now, it's more of sanctions in currencies, in what you call freedom of speech, you know, democracy, whatever American can, you know, throw things at. But rightly so, Chinese also say, you know, you're so democratic, so free of speech and so nice to its people. What happened to Black Lives Matter? What happened to, you know, Capitol Hill in January, all the rioting and stuff, and the way that we didn't talk about much at this time is how the US government handled the COVID-19 when the rest of the world, or the Western world, seems to have a bit of a problem, and in Asian countries seems to have a better handle of it. And I think this slide between the two countries is just going to continue. And I think it forces a lot of countries to actually pick sides. I think Singapore was the one in the middle. The Singapore government already voices concern. And I think a lot of countries also will be forced to take sides. But ultimately, I think they will follow what Germany will have done. Basically, just follow whatever is for their own good, own benefit. So like Russia, Germany actually go to Russia and get the pipeline done for gas, for cheaper gas, better supply of gas than relying on other European countries or America. And also Germany, which working with Huawei to build 5Gs and so forth. Yes, control, but still open the door for a Chinese company. I think overall, this is going to be happening. Countries from around the world will do their own balancing act, so to speak, and see what's, do they want to stand on high moral ground, high ground, or do they want trade? And obviously, everybody on the stock knows, China middle class is spending a lot of money and consuming a lot of goods and foreign services, and everybody wants to supply to China. But in the same time, you really cannot expect China to let other people just beat them on the head and still ask them to buy the stuff. So China's, I think the US weaponized US dollars. I think Chinese, I said before, Chinese government will weaponize the middle class. So whatever the middle class is buying, it will, be just simply because numbers, it can cause quite a bit of trade friction, so to speak. And if the Chinese government think, other foreign countries are not doing nice to them, they basically help guide the Chinese people to buy from somewhere else. And then you've seen what happened with Australia. And it's not going to be very nice. But I think overall, this is just going to something that we need to watch out for the next 50 years. But overall, I think for the market side, I think it's like very, everybody's watching at the interest rate and also the yield, the government bond and yield. So I think something fishy may be happening over there just in case. Because as far as I can see, government around the world, I mean, US in particular, is very good at playing financial tricks. And have done it in 2007 and 2000 and so forth. And I just wonder how long this recovery from the COVID-19 bear market is going to look like. I mean, the Main Street and the Wall Street is totally diverged. Sooner or later, like Warren Buffett said, the stock market had to reflect what's on the Main Street. People are not able to find jobs and companies are closing. And that's not just an American problem, it's around the world problem because of the COVID-19. I just wonder the stock market, how high it can hold up. And I do personally believe the inflation's coming, quite a lot of it. And that's why some of those governments around the world is already increasing interest rate, because you can see them adding those pressure in some of their countries as well. But also at the same time is to defend their currency. If a lot of them are based on US dollar, you can see the US dollar is weakening, so they increase the interest rate just to combat inflation, but also support their own currency and so forth. I think overall that there could be a couple of things. It could be, it's like, personally, I feel the prices in US stock market is very much similar to back in 2000 when the dot-com bubble burst, all those companies not actually making much money, have a very sky high rating and PE ratio and so forth, and things fall back down, and it causes a lot of issue later on. Secondly, we have like 1997, I think, around the world time with Asian currency crisis. I think that is something that might cause us issue with US dollars weakening, and there might be some other countries rather than Asia having the currency having issues of that one. So, and also the supply market kind of thing, with all this extra money flying around, some commodities actually, or certain prices of like houses or stocks are going to go up. It's not going to end well, and inflation is coming. And I personally feeling gold and also crude oil is something that to pay out for. Crude oil for this week is sort of have plateaued a little bit. It dropped like $4 and on Thursday or Wednesday last week. It's quite a bit of a reverse as well. But I think overall things were, it just feel not right overall. I think there may be a lot of things coming up later on, but we just have to see. As far as I'm concerned, the trend is continuing with most trade, most commodity and shares and so forth. And we just have to wait and see. Who knows what type of things will happen next. But as far as I'm concerned, as being a trend follower, we try to follow the trend until it bends. When it bends, we get beaten a bit, lose some of those money, but that's the cost of doing business. But as far as I'm concerned, from my experience, it's always follow the trend. People somehow, somewhere always show their hands and that causes the price to go certain ways. And if you have a systematic method, just watching a price and not using your emotion to make a trading decision, I think you'll be much, much better off. So that's the end of this week update. Next, let's look at my trend following portfolio coming up. Okay, first off the bat is Apple. Basically, this last couple of days have been pretty well on Dow Jones. It's moved up, maybe slowing down, but still moving up. So it causes Apple to basically gone back up, or also the recovery on NASDAQ as well. So short term for Apple is a buy, medium and long term still neutral. Similar to Amazon, short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is still sell. I think this one, I said that last week already, is trying to break above 200 moving average last week, but it failed, and this week, similar thing, it just hovered underneath the 200 days MA line. So I think watch out for Amazon. I think long term, for the NASDAQ probably have recovered a bit, and obviously causes Apple, Amazon to go up. But I think long-term wise, especially Amazon, is basically going sideways and having this 200 days moving line as a ceiling. I think it's a good sell signal as well, so watch out. And I think overall, there could be more legs to go down, but overall, hey, this is trend following system, but all these 200 days lines and 50 days lines basically extra signal for us, so make sure you be careful with Amazon long term. I think it's going down. Next is Australian dollars against US dollar. Short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. Same as last week, it's no change. Incidentally, the US dollar index seems to have gone around 92 area, gone down to 91.70, but failed to break. And stay above 92.50 or just go to 93.94. So the recent surge of the US dollar index or the recent dollar strength, I think it's just going to be there to stay for a little bit. We just see how it goes. Next is Brent crude. Short term is a sell, medium term is buy, long term is a buy. Same thing for WTI. US crude oil, short term is a sell, medium term is buy, long term is a buy. So short term wise, I think it was on Wednesday, suddenly both Brent crude and crude oil, WTI lose about $4. But overall, the trend is still up, long term and medium term, so just wait and see. Excuse me, I think overall, this is something that is natural correction, and I think it'll be useful just to keep track of it. Overall, I still think both the crude oil itself is going to continue to go up, but we just have to see how it goes. Next is DAX. Short term is a buy, medium term is a buy, long term is a buy. So it's doing okay here. Continue for last week. And Dow Jones, like I said, this recovery continued from last week. Short term, medium term, long term is also a buy. FTSE 100, short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy, it's no change from last week. Gold, short term is still a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is a sell, but gold is worthwhile to look at, I think I said it last week already, people are saying when gold price are supposed to go down when the US dollars recovers. It sort of did last week, but it sort of stabilized around the 1617 area, and this week basically the past week just gone. It's gone back up to 1750 for 40 areas. So even though it's still a short term sell, I think gold low maybe in, I don't know. We just have to wait and see. But from what I've seen last week, last couple of weeks anyway, there's a downward channel coming down since when it makes its new high on the 2050, 2070 area. It has hit the bottom of that channel, and now it's basically a bounce from last week onwards. That's just a charting concern, but as far as trend following concern, short term is still a sell, so watch out. But I think there might be a sign, a little bit of signal to say that the worst of a gold downturn may have temporary in the short term, medium term may have stalled. So just have to wait and see. Next is Hang Seng Index and Hong Kong. Short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is a neutral as well. So no difference here from last week, more or less. Next is NASDAQ. Short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is neutral as well. So continue from last week. NASDAQ seems to recover a bit, but I'm not quite sure how good the recovery is at the moment. Just have to wait and see. Next is Nikkei. Short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. So Nikkei have recovered a bit from the short term and from sell to buy this week, or short term, but long term wise still a buy, but we just have to wait and see. I think Nikkei is just following a bit of downturn, so a bit of uptrend lately. Next is silver, similar to its brother, gold. Short term is a sell, medium long term is neutral. Silver, again, lagging behind gold. So when gold actually went down, silver is lagging behind. It's maybe more stable, didn't go down as much. So when gold going up, again, silver didn't go as much as well. But we just wait and see how things go. Next is US dollars against the Chinese dollar, Chinese yuan. Short term is a buy, medium term, long term is a neutral. So short term wise, it has stopped strengthening, gone a bit sideways. Chinese dollar may be a bit weaker, a bit against Chinese, against US dollar, but I think the way that the US government is selling treasury bonds, $1.9 trillion actually been signed to law. Those money are flooding around in US and around the world. It's going to just cause US dollars weaken. At the moment, we don't really see much of it, but I think that you see the reluctance of the Chinese dollar actually continue to weaken, even though the US dollar index seems to have strengthened lately. I think it's saying how strong the Chinese dollar is. It might weaken a little bit against the US dollars, but I think at the moment the chart is showing it's going sideways, so it's trend following. So we just have to wait and see how things are. Next is US dollar against Japanese yen. Short term, medium term, long term is all across is buy. And this one, I think, have hit, like I said before, upper ceiling for the past couple of weeks already. And it's around the 109.50 area, 109, 110 over there. It's basically last couple of weeks struggling to stay above 109.20 or 109.30. So something to watch out for. I think the Japanese weakness against US dollars has, I think, might have come to a stop, at least gone sideways lately. Next is British pound against Japanese yen. Short term is a buy, medium term is a buy, long term is a buy. So again, British pounds against the Japanese yen. British dollar pound seems to be on a better step for some reason, even though we got both COVID-19 here quite badly, just around the world, and Brexit as well. People seem to like them, the British pounds, for some reason. But against US dollar, British pound against US dollar, short term is a sell, medium long term is still a buy. So maybe in a slightly different way with British pound against the dollars, US dollars, but against other currencies seems to be gaining strength from what I'm seeing here. Next is Bitcoin. Short term is a buy, medium term is a buy, long term is a buy. So since it's tried to break above the 60,000 mark last week or so, it's just gone a bit sideways. Still stay below the 60K mark, and we just have to wait and see what they want to do next. Next is iShares 20 TLT ETF. Short term, medium term, long term is a sell. With the US government bonds continue, the yield continue to increase, the TLT just continue to lose its price here. Basically, the increasing yield means the treasury bonds are cost less because less people want to buy, less demand on there, and that causes the treasury yield to go up, and that sort of show up in the TLT ETF. That means the price continued to fall, so no point to buy at this point. Still a sell or short it as much as you can. Next is Tesla. Short term is a buy, medium term is long term is also neutral. So recovery from the NASDAQ seems to be continuing, but I just wonder how long it will be will go. I mean, Tesla, I like the company, but I think overall it's just like, this is where I see a lot of this dot-com bubble issues here. It gone up 700% last year for Tesla, and for this to continue this year, I see it will be very, very difficult, even increase by 100%. I just wonder how long people, when they go back to work, some of them have work, a lot of people don't have, and work, they may have government subsidies and you know, to put food on the table, but we didn't have enough money to put aside to buy a quite expensive car. I just don't know. I just personally don't feel right at the share market in the US, I mean, overall as well, but I think against for Tesla anyway, I think it's, if it have done its thing and make a lot of money for a lot of people last year, but I think this year probably most likely to get better, but let's see how it goes. Next is Australian US index, Australian index, XJO, and short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is neutral. Last but not least is Alibaba, short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is still a sell. So Alibaba is similar to Amazon. I think these two better watch out for. Both are pretty much a sell, and they are both in NASDAQ. Even the NASDAQ is still recover. But you look at Zoom, Square, Snap, those kind of things have recovered a bit, but I don't think it's doing, you know, going new high, that kind of stuff. So there's already, I'm sure you've read quite a bit of it, or these US government, US financial news, and there's a lot of shifting, movement from NASDAQ technology kind of leading shares into more traditional shares. This will just continue. Okay, NASDAQ may have recovered a bit, I think. Where NASDAQ has been leading for last year or so for the COVID-19 surge and recovery in the index and prices in technology company, I think now is also a leading indicator to show us, you know, it might about to come down, so watch out. So overall, I think the best indicator so far for me anyway for the American market is really NASDAQ. Dow Jones is just playing catch up. Sooner or later, it's going to follow, as far as I'm concerned, NASDAQ. So just watch out. So at the moment, play while the trend is up for Dow Jones and its constituent shares. Go and buy, just follow the trend. But on the NASDAQ technology side, just watch out for your trend. I think it's recovered a little bit, but I think the downtrend is still there. Medium and long term is still there. That's a lot of downward pressure. So remember to follow your system, and don't follow your heart set, because overall we are trend follower. We trend follow are not emotional, using emotional way to choose our shares. We shouldn't have any biases. If the system has been well and truly tested, we should follow the system, because we spend a lot of blood and time and money on the system. Once it's tested and it's already proven itself, we should just continue, doesn't matter what the market says. A lot of time the market is just there to trick you, emotionally make you feel very high, very low, and it's do its things. The whole reason having a trend following system is that you get away, to leave the emotion at the door, so to speak, and let your system to tell you what to buy, when to buy, when to sell. So now is really the time to listen to your system and follow. And that's all about it, is trend following in essence. So that's the end of this update for the podcast. I will speak to you guys next week. And happy trading and stay safe. Bye for now.